Today on Movie While Us, we talk about Kin and Operation Finale. It's time for Movie While Us. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie While Us is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or on the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Greetings.
Hello.
So this is kind of an ad hoc. Hopefully this will sound okay. This is not going to be our usual studio recording quality because we're recording this podcast on iPhones. Why are we doing that? We're doing it because we came round to Yazdi's house this morning to book our selections for the Toronto Film Festival, which we will be covering in a couple of weeks' time. So stay tuned to the podcast to get everything that you can from the live updates from the festival. And I'm going to put you guys on the spot because we didn't really talk about saying this in the podcast, but any films that you're excited about in this year's film festival?
All the ones that we picked.
For example?
Hotel Mumbai.
Oh, you stole my Hotel
Mumbai. I know. I'm trying to remember. Boy Erased.
Yes.
Which is the highly anticipated Joel Egerton movie by all the movie wallers, because we love Joel Egerton on this show, but it's about Joel Egerton, who plays a preacher, who is going to do conversion therapy on his own son, who happens to be gay.
Right, and it has Nicole Kidman and Joel Edgerton. Yeah.
So lots to be excited about.
And you, Yazdi?
I'm really looking forward to Hotel Mumbai because it's about the terrorist attack which happened on November 26th, 2011, I believe, when these terrorists essentially simultaneously took siege of the biggest international hotel in Mumbai and several surrounding areas. And there was this essentially hostage situation which lasted for two full days. And it's got Armie Hammer in it and a whole bunch of people, Dev Patel's in it. So it's looking really good.
Joe?
You know, all the ones that you said, but also a movie that I'm kind of excited about, Rashmi, you found it for me in the guide, which is called Free Solo. And it's about Alex Honnold, who's the slightly insane climber who basically can go. He did the what's the mountain at Yosemite?
Meru.
No. Yosemite.
Oh, Yosemite.
Half Dome.
Half Dome.
He was, I think, the first person to ever scale Half Dome free solo climbing. That's climbing without any ropes and without a partner. And he was the first person to scale that without any kind of, you know, equipment. And he's a very interesting young guy. He's kind of intense. He has this very calm nature about him, but he does these crazy, crazy things. So I think this will be an interesting... I love mountaineering movies anyway. I think there's an inner mountaineer. I just don't have the physique for it in real life. So
that's why I find you these movies, so you watch them and then you're scared out of your skin and you wear it for real. So hence, I found you that one.
So kind of excited about that.
Yeah, but I'm excited just to go to TIFF because... Joe and I have not covered TIFF before, Yazdi. You are the
TIFF veteran.
Yes, the TIFF veteran amongst us. So I'm excited. And you haven't been for a number of years.
I haven't been almost in 6-7 years, but yeah. There was a time when I went like 4 years in a row.
Yeah, which is great.
Which is great. And it's, I think it's the, of all the film festivals I've gone, it's the most, it's the biggest, it's the most jubilant, most well-attended,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, and I feel like it kind of kicks off Oscar season.
It does.
It's like where all the campaigns for nominations begins really in earnest, right? Or Venice just before, which is just completed.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, Toronto Film Festival is like the Pope's visit or anything, but the website crashed properly, right, this morning. It's been crashing non-stop because people have been trying to book tickets. Today's the first day that TIFF members can buy tickets, individual tickets, and we had to spend hours because, you know, we couldn't, if you got in the line, you got kicked out a couple times and then it wouldn't accept our credit card and just very unstable system because presumably too many people want to see movies in Toronto. Go figure.
Yeah, it's crazy. I feel like I have a general dislike for Ticketmaster. But, to think that they can't cope with the film festival is rather frustrating. But nonetheless, we have our picks made. We have our press screenings as well. So we're looking forward to kind of covering a broad range of movies at the festival. And again, look out over the next couple of weeks, because we'll try and do our live from the fest type coverage as we do with at least daily or every other day podcast. So check that out at movieworldlast.com and on the podcast feed. All right, we have two movies to get through today, and because it is kind of an impromptu recording session, I think we should probably just get straight into those reviews. So no Netflix picks this week, unfortunately, but we will be back with those in a podcast or two's time. So we are going to talk about Operation Finale and Kin. Where would you like to start? Kin.
Since Joey, only you and I saw that one.
Sure.
Okay, so I'll introduce Kin. And Jonathan Baker and Josh Baker, I presume they're brothers or
siblings,
which would be brothers, but I presume they're related in some fashion. They made a short film called Bagman, and this movie is now the full-fledged version. And the screenplay is by Daniel Casey, in addition to Jonathan Baker and Josh Baker. And the Baker boys have also directed the film. And here's the IMDb summary for the movie: that chased by a vengeful criminal, the feds and a gang of otherworldly soldiers, a recently released ex-con and his adopted teenage brother are forced to go on the run with a weapon of mysterious origin as their only protection. So this movie stars Dennis Quaid, it stars Jack Rayner, Miles Truett, Zoe Kravitz is here, and James Franco and Kerry Coon are also there, two of my favorite actors. Well, James Franco not so much, but Kerry Coon I like a lot. So this movie, I saw the preview for this movie, and it looked kind of fun, kind of an 80s-ish nod and a wink kind of way about aliens landing on Earth. You know, there was like no batteries included kind of vibe it gave me, but I couldn't make it because I had play tickets that evening. But you guys saw it. Tell us.
Yeah, Yassi has a huge smile on his face. And before we went into the movie, Yassi said, I think this is going to be like a mashup of Chappie meets Transformers.
Right.
As he said, oh, sorry, I can't make it. And I did like Chappie out of the three of us, but I know you hated that. So
I do.
Anyway, look, I'm happy to say this is nothing like either of those movies.
Oh, good.
For me, this is unexpectedly fun to watch.
Oh.
And I think a lot of that has to do with really good casting of Jack Rayner and Miles Truett, who play these adopted brothers. This is sci-fi, but not in a distracting way. I think it's more about the relationship between those two brothers than the sci-fi element itself. I actually enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, it's interesting because as I'm kind of looking at the Rotten Tomatoes score for this movie, 35%, it suggests that this is an absolutely terrible piece of filmmaking, and it really isn't. It's aimed at teenage boys, I think, in many ways. I think it's kind of a sci-fi, and the sci-fi in it is actually very reserved.
Yes,
you know, in fact, to Rashmi's point, you know, the story really is about, you know, parenthood. It's about you know, the relationship between the two brothers that evolves over the course of the movie. It's about many things, but it really isn't a sci-fi thriller, other than this one mystical weapon that evolves over the course of the movie. So I think it was okay. I mean, I think, you know, as a 13-year-old, this would have been, you know, great fun, because it has kind of a nice journey to it. You know, the movie very annoyingly kind of sets up revelations at the end that are really created at crafting a sequel and maybe, you know, another kind of, you know, Hunger Games trilogy, you know, what's going on with this world type thing that we've seen before. But overall, it was adequate entertainment. I wouldn't rush out and see this, but I think if you have, you know, kids that are in the 13 to 18-year-old range, I think they'll have a blast.
Yeah, I think my criticism of it is that normally I like me a bit of bad James Franco, but unfortunately, he's too much of a caricature in this movie to take him seriously. And I fear that he's doing the Johnny Depp thing where he wears a costume versus a good acting gig.
Mm.
And I think if that
He's reprised.
The bad guy. Yeah, I was going to say it reprised his role in Spring Breakers. But in Spring Breakers, he was. I really bought into that character in Spring Breakers. Here, it just felt a little bit overplayed, and I wish that that story had been a bit more evolved. I think that would have added more to this overall story. It would have made it more believable in terms of the chase and the pursuit.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the pacing's off a little bit as well. I mean, I think, you know, if we're going to kind of poke holes in the movie, and I'm trying to understand why it's been disliked so much critically.
Yeah, I think it's certainly not deserving of the 35.
It throws in a number of elements, and I think, you know, one of the quotes here from RogerEbert.com is that it's disjointed. It's a road movie, it's a family drama, it's a violent crime film and an offbeat sci-fi. And I think that kind of mishmash and kind of uneven pacing could throw people off critically, but I don't think it changes the enjoyment of the movie, which, you know, like you said, Rashmi, it's well cast, and I was always rooting for the characters. I wanted them to do well. It very cleverly, and you know, and maybe that's another cause of irritation, but you know, it corners the protagonists at the end of the movie. Like, there is no exit from the situation that they get themselves into, and then we have plot revelations that address all of that. And I think that may have been frustrating for some, because it does kind of pop up out of nowhere. But nonetheless, you know, the road moviness of it is actually quite enjoyable. So I'll use that as my wrap up. I think it's an adequate, you know, 6-7 out of 10 movie. I'm going to go with a 7 just because I think everyone's beaten on this movie. And I honestly think that, you know, if you're in the back of an airplane, if you have kids that are the right age where they buy into this type of stuff, it's good entertainment.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 7 too. I think it's a fairly earnest movie that's a little different. That's worth a watch. And I do look forward to seeing the next installment. I think that's actually going to be the interesting movie about why the end happened the way it did.
Is the movie, like, cheesy? Is it, like...
No.
No?
No. Earnest is the word Rashmi used, and I agree with that completely. I mean, I think, you know, these are two first-time filmmakers, but I think what they do here is very good. I think they do the relationship stuff very well. I think, you know, that kind of thing isn't easy to do, especially when you have, you know, as is very clear in this situation, the kind of the adopted setup. Dennis Quaid does a nice job as the struggling father, you know, the honest guy, as you know, who has the kid gone wrong kind of thing. And again, I think there's lots of additional texture to the movie, which would suggest why things are the way they are. You know, you have a missing parent, you have, you know, financial difficulties and environmental stuff. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, I think, again, earnest is the right word to use there, Rashmi. It really does try hard to be something more than just a simple sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on then. Movie number two this week is Operation Finale. So, Rashmi, you're going to tell us about that one.
I am, and I think all I'm going to say is... So this is the directed by Chris White and highly anticipated movie of the story of a team of secret agents, mostly made up of Mossad out of Israel, who set out to track down the Nazi officer who masterminded the Holocaust. Based on true events, this stars Oscar Isaac and Ben Kingsley, Melanie Laurent. It's got a really great cast, and written by Matthew Orton, amongst some others. So again, highly anticipated for me. Yassi, why don't you start us off on this one?
So this movie is, I really liked it, and it's a different movie than I thought it would be. The movie is being maybe rightly so marketed as this cat and mouse game between, you know, one of the masterminds of the whole, you know, Nazi Holocaust, and the people, the Israeli secret agents who are trying to get him. And the movie is actually a lot more deliberate and more meditative than that, especially in its second half. So I was hoping for this movie to be kind of edge of your seat tense film, and it's that, but only in parts. And then it becomes something a little bit more you know, more contemplative in terms of, you know, asking questions about, you know, how do you deal with complex morals? You know, when you're dealing with somebody who is clearly evil, what is your responsibility to be, to do right? So it asks a lot of very useful questions. And once I settled in letting the movie be what it wanted to be and not what I wanted it to be, I really enjoyed it. So, yeah, I would recommend this movie wholeheartedly.
Joe?
Yeah, you nailed it, yesterday. I mean, I think the thing that I was hoping for was more of a kind of a spy thriller mm-hmm. type thing. And I think they very quickly get into the acquisition of Albert Eichmann. So it's about his kidnapping, and they very quickly kidnap him. So then you're dealing with them doing what they need to do with him in the scenario that they have him. And, you know, I think there is criticism from some circles that the movie is perhaps a little too sympathetic to his character. I don't see that. I think there are a couple of moments where they reveal the true nature of who he was and what he did. But I guess they don't spend the entire movie portraying him as this one-dimensional monster. They do give us a sense of the human being behind the evil. So, it was very good. And I didn't actually know about this operation. I mean, mm-hmm. I think more than anything, I'd heard of the Eichmann trial and the publicity around that at the time. But I didn't really understand the nature of what they did in terms of going into another sovereign nation to extract somebody who was a citizen of another sovereign nation and getting back to Israel. So I think that was very enlightening. I liked it a lot.
You both stole my notes. So this is an important story that needs to be told, and I think it's well made and exquisitely acted. I didn't know much about this story either, Joe, like you, and I was impressed until I actually watched the real footage of the man being questioned. Mm. And I'm not sure why I ever doubted this, but I realized what an incredible job Ben Kingsley did of portraying the real Adolf Eichmann. I think this is very similar in texture and feel as Argo, mm-hmm. Mixed in with some of The Debt, which are both mm-hmm. incredible movies. I really enjoyed this, and I did find myself on the edge of my seat. Now, like Joe, I've also heard that some Israeli reviewers especially are stating that the portrayal of Adolf Eichmann is too human. I don't think so. I think that he's suitably portrayed as someone who's indignant about the horrors that he carried out and why he did them. And whilst the movie shows that he's not sorry, it does show him being very scared of losing his own family, which I thought was a clever twist in sort of juxtaposing how he destroyed millions of families. And yet when it comes down to him potentially losing his own, what that does to him.
It's a dehumanization that inevitably occurs during war. That's not to excuse anything. I think it showed us the way that these people, to perpetrate these evils, you have to essentially believe that you're not a monster. And I don't know. I think that's what the movie was trying to show us.
Yeah, I think it actually is more effective for quote-unquote humanizing him. I don't think it humanizes him. I think it's explaining that the worst monster in the world still is worried about the safety of his wife and still is worried about the safety of his own children. And I think by kind of... So, like you, I wrote down that this... I walked into this movie hoping it'll be The Debt, that wonderful movie with Jessica Chastain
Helen Mirren.
And Sam Worthington, this really tense, the whole time, cat-and-mouse game between these group of people who are trying to pin down a Nazi perpetrator. But unlike that movie, I think in this movie... At least the second half of the movie is after they've captured him, they want to fly him out of the country, but the flights are delayed because of a political ruse, and they're stuck with him for 10 days. And during that 10 days, they're trying to extract some information out of him. And the second half of the movie is about that interplay between these people who have caught him and this person who has done these horrible things, and how you go about trying to use whatever tools you have to extract that information from him. And during that period of time, you understand that this is a man like anybody else. And I think that's what makes him chilling to me, because you realize that any one of us who seem normal and who are worried about the same things can become evil, you know, if you get brainwashed into something. And so for me, it's not that they humanized this guy who did horrible things. It's actually giving him more texture, which to me made him more terrifying, to realize that this is an everyday person who landed up doing extraordinarily evil things. So I really appreciated that part of the movie.
Yeah, and I think it does that Black Klansman thing very smartly as well, where it takes you into a room full of people who have one thing in common, which is they hate Jews. And so there's this whole Nazi movement in Argentina, and they're just so ignorant. And I think it shows that really well, mm-hmm. and how the face of evil is everywhere, and it's your neighbor and your husband and your brother and your lover and your boyfriend and the guy who sells the bread down the street. Right. So I kind of give it props for doing it as well. I think it's very timely. I don't think it brings anything new to the genre like Son of Saul did, but again, I keep asking myself, you know, do we need another Holocaust movie? Hell yes, we do. And is it better to watch even movies that don't bring us something new about the genre? Yeah, it absolutely is.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, and I also wrote down Argo, because there's one scene in this movie which is completely, entirely reminiscent of Argo.
Yeah.
But the other movie that it curiously reminded me of was The Silence of the Lambs, because
yes.
just like Hannibal Lecter had this very weird relationship with Clarice, where he was willing to provide Clarice information only if she revealed herself to him. He wanted to know who she was as a person and reveal her fears, and that's where the title of the movie comes from. It's very similar here, where, you know, the Nazi perpetrator played by Ben Kingsley, he's willing to give information, he's willing to sign off on something, but in return he wants information from, you know, from the
Oscar Isaac
character. And that relationship of, you know, I need to see some vulnerability, some truth, you know, from you in exchange for giving you what you want. I think that kind of played out very well. I also thought the production design on this was incredible.
Yes,
I mean, this, you know, this is set in the 70s in Argentina, and there's a lot of shots done in public spaces, and I don't know how they managed to do it.
It was like a yellowing of the film, mm-hmm. which I really liked.
Yeah,
I had the same thing as the Hannibal Lecter, same observation.
Yeah, and it really plays with pretty complex and thorny moral issues. Like, and sorry to repeat myself, but if you're dealing with a really evil person, is it okay for you to kind of cheat to get what you want, you know, to help other people? Or when you're negotiating with that person, is it critical for you to maintain your humanity and you to play it honest at every time? And I think the Oscar Isaac character really struggles with that. Like, you know, if he cheats to get the information that he wants out of this person, maybe he's no different from him. So he has to retain his own humanity and his own honesty while he's doing his moral high ground. So I think it's quite fascinating. It's not what I expected this movie to be at all, but it's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's very ambitious. I think there's a lot of elements thrown in here. And I say this often, but I feel like this movie has so much in it that I felt that it was a little rushed in terms of its delivery. I almost want to see a miniseries of this,
yes.
where we can understand the planning that went into the mission, understand the mission itself, understand what it took to get him out, and then follow up with the trial. Because I think, you know, the portrayal of the man here could have been really much expanded. And I think, you know, the elements that you raised here in terms of his character and the nature of evil and the nature of our response to that is something I'd like to have seen a bit more explored. But shall I wrap it up?
Please.
So, you know, again, I think it could have been a little more tense, but mm-hmm. I admired what it was trying to do. I think that the movie was almost a little hurried in trying to get through everything that it wanted to touch upon. But overall, a very satisfying movie watch experience. It's an important story. It's one that has opened my mind to kind of what happened during that historical period. So I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, Dee.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 7 out of 10, which seems a little bit stingy, but...
I see why, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a very well-crafted movie. It's almost old-fashioned in the way it's kind of crafted. It really pays attention to all the building pieces. I love the background score by Alexandre Desplat, how we pronounce it. And I these days, proper opening credits have become so rare that when you have a good, I really like the opening credits. It's very old-fashioned in this way. Had the opening credits, and the score which played during the opening credits was really memorable to me. So there's something very hardworking about this movie in terms of how the actors are all laid out. So it's there's nothing sloppy or hurried about it. The story, the plot itself is hurried, but the way it's been constructed is very good. I think the one big fault I will put on this movie is that it completely wastes Melanie Laurent. It does not know what to do with her at all. I mean, she's barely, and you know, she's a great French actor. She's directed two movies. One of her movies, I was just looking, which she directed herself, is playing at the Toronto Film Festival with Ben Foster and Elle Fanning and so forth. So I don't know why they hired her if they were not going to ask her to do much, but be that as it may. I like this movie, 7 out of 10. I would recommend it to anyone.
Yeah, I agree with both your scores. I'm also going to score it 7. I would have liked a bit more of the case once he landed in Israel, to your point, Joe. It feels like there are some bits missing. This isn't a waste of time at all, but it just didn't reach the greatness I was hoping for.
Yeah.
So it's just shy of greatness. It's a really good movie, and it's an important movie. What's interesting to me is also I read that his son still lives in Argentina.
Hmm.
Oh, the Eichmann son?
Yeah.
I don't understand what it is with Argentina and Nazis. There's some weird... I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. I mean, there is some kind of link there with anti-Semitist and maybe, Nazi sympathizer. There's a tolerance of that there. I don't know. But, yeah, be interesting to look into that. Because Buenos Aires is on my list of places that I would really like to go. But I'm not sure that... I'm quite as welcome there as I think I might be.
Yeah.
No, you
won't. I'd like to be, rather.
And then the great Greta Scacchi, remember her from like all those Merchant Ivory movies?
Yes.
She plays Eichmann's wife here.
Yes.
She was unrecognizable, but it was good to see her back on the big screen.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap up the podcast. I apologize if the sound quality of this episode has not been our usual standard. We strive to have good sound on MovieWallahs, but we've thought that this time, with it being Labor Day weekend, you'd rather have the content than the quality. So, the quality of the content should speak for itself. So, until our next podcast and our very imminent future coverage of the Toronto Film Festival, too many movies, too little time. A goodbye from me.
And me
as well.